away we... Oh, I didn't throw my hands up, Glenn, to tell you that we were coming on the air. I'm surprised you weren't talking as I was coming on the air.
I was picking my nose.
And away we go on this Wednesday, June the 24th. 20, 26, 24, 2020, 13 minutes past the hour, and you're tuned into WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, where in the next 2 hours, we are going to have the Big Bratwurst Challenge. Now, let me tell you about the Big Bratwurst Challenge. I've been talking about this for years now. Drink the beer, eat the bratwurst. Drink the beer, eat the bratwurst. That the beer boiling of a bratwurst is just something you do at home because you're a little nutty, and it has no impact on the bratwurst. Now, people have taken umbrage with this statement.
And I don't know what that word means.
Umbrage? Well, they took it.
Okay.
And so now we have, prepared by a listener, a container of bratwurst that are just plain. We have bratwurst that have been boiled in beer, and we have bratwurst that have been boiled in wine.
Oh,
yes.
Wow.
Oh, boy. So in next hour, stay tuned. I want to give you an hour to get your kids and your neighbors and your family members and call people at work and tell them we're going to do this next hour between 11 and 12. We're going to prepare these bratwurst. I'm going to bring them in here. Now, I know the difference, so I can't do this test.
Oh, sure, you can.
I can't because I know.
Well, we won't do it as a test for you. But if I'm going to eat, you're going to eat. My doctor told me I should stop eating. So.
Well, we're going to give you the most fatty piece of meat we can possibly give you.
All right.
So, but we're going to see if we're going to see if Ben Glenn can find out the difference between the... I think you'll know the wine because it has a little different color.
I would think it would taste a little differently.
But we're going to see if beer does really change the taste of bratwurst. Now, if it doesn't, all these people will say, oh, yes, it does. But it doesn't. I don't think it does.
I'm looking forward to this test because I've always thought that plain old water is fine for me, and I liked bratwurst and water, and didn't really think I saw any difference in beer, but I've never compared the two at the same time.
Today's the day.
This is it.
Today's the day. Coming up at 11:15. I'm going to do it during the break, so we're going to come back with it at 11:15. You're not going to want to miss this for love nor money.
Do you have mustard or Dijon?
I have a paper plate. I have a paper plate, a fork, okay, and a paper towel.
All right.
Yes.
We'll go.
Well, I didn't know we had to spiff these up for you, Glenn.
Well, I prefer Dijon. But.
Dijon. Grey Poupon.
Yes.
Grey Poupon.
Por favor.
You threw my...
I'm sorry.
Oh, no, I know what it was. Yesterday, I invented something during the course of my show, Glenn. Did you know this?
No, I missed that.
Apple butter donuts.
Oh, yes, I did. I listened to that part. And I thought you had a really good idea to name it, except for it was kind of self-serving.
Oh, shut up.
Because you want to name it after yourself.
No, because I created it, Glenn. I mean, don't you think that all things that are created... We don't want to just call it a donut.
Yeah, no, you
apple
don't.
Apple butter donut.
Well, you could have called it a Glenn donut.
But you didn't have anything to do with that.
Yeah, but that would have been less self-serving.
But here's the thing. So somebody yesterday, while I was they thought, oh, man. Well, see, Glenn.
Well.
See, Glenn. You would think.
Yeah.
You would think we'd have devoted people like that. At the time, they
said. One's going to come in the door in an hour, I guarantee.
Hey, listen, I told that, and they said, oh, man, I'm apple cinnamon. Apple butter donuts.
Now, you got to put, I heard that gentleman say you have to put the sugar with the cinnamon, otherwise it has a funny taste.
I agree with that.
Yeah, okay.
So, I was trying to think how I want to phrase this because I don't want to diss on anybody.
Well, you'll put your name in it, whatever.
I'll put my name in it. Darn right. And this is Scott Spears here on WWGH Radio. We're currently 17 minutes past the hour. And the co-host is irrelevant at this point, so here we are.
That's good, Scott.
We're starting out on a good note today. We're rolling. It's the bratwurst. It's filled the room with joy.
It's that beer that's floating
in
the air.
Yeah,
it's
beer.
Like the coronavirus. If beer's floating in the air, you get a little silly.
You know, I had a question about this. If you're a recovering alcoholic, could you have a bratwurst boiled in beer?
Oh, that's a great question. I would say... If you don't know, it won't hurt you. But if you do know, then you'll feel guilty, and it might ease up the guilt. So you say, well, I had a beer bratwurst. Maybe I can have one beer.
You know what I was just thinking? I totally blocked out what you just said. But here's what I was thinking.
That's okay.
This is why we're a good team. I wish, because I've ran out of soda by 11:15, I'm not. If I'm going to get into these bratwursts, I won't have any soda.
Oh, I'm terrible.
Now
sorry.
Again, I'm not asking anybody.
Oh,
to
yes,
bring,
you are.
No. I'm not asking anybody to bring me any, you know, soda. Please stay in your homes. I'm just saying I'll be out.
Oh,
and of all days. Because usually I keep a little backup.
Yes, I know you
in,
do.
In the refrigerator, and I came in today and I didn't bring any.
Oh my!
So we're in big trouble. When this goes, I have couple sips
slowly on that one.
Well, we'll see if a good Samaritan shows up.
Don't do it.
So there's that. There's that going on. But here's the subject I wanted to get in. Oh, but what do you make of? Did you hear the conversation about the pictures now that people send on the internet?
No, I missed that one.
Well, basically, I posted this on Facebook. On Sunday morning, I got a picture from somebody.
I read all your Facebook stuff.
Oh, good, Glenn. I'm glad somebody
Go
does. You don't like it all, but you read it all. On Sunday morning, I got a picture. Yeah, it was a picture. Sunday morning from somebody, and I'm not going to say what the picture was, but it was a picture. And it just said, I hope this makes you smile, and it did. Now, the conversation I got into is we live in a world now where people send pictures. Now, usually it's girls to guys, and it was in this particular case as well.
Unless your name's Mr. Wiener.
Yeah, he had... We're talking about Anthony Wiener, by the way.
Yes.
So,
thank you. I couldn't remember his first name.
Yeah. Woo. So, yeah, well, we don't need an FCC car pulling up here today.
They don't have enough money for cars.
No, they're a little shortchanged these days. The point is that girls now just take a little more provocative photos, and they will send them. It's easier to take a photo, and they send them to guys. Now, my question was...
I've never gotten one.
Oh, Glenn. Well, you're back. But you know, in the old days, people used to take them and Polaroid them, and they would go over to the... And the guy who was developing the photos saw him.
You grew up with a lot of pervs.
I did?
I don't know. I've never seen one, so never taken one.
In the internet age?
Oh, yeah, I've seen them.
No, wait, now, wait a second. Who's the... Now, wait, what? There's no perverseness. If the person's of age and you're of age, I guess relationships do that. I guess friends do that.
I never understood that. But go ahead.
Well, why do you think Playboy was such a popular magazine?
Because guys are pervs.
Is that a perv? Is it?
Well, I don't know. I remember... Oh, can I tell you a story? I know I'm messing up your...
Coming from you,
yeah.
After who tries to work provocative nature things into every conversation, and all of a sudden you become a prude.
I was...
We're not going to make it through the show today. I
can know.
Feel that already. We haven't even got to the first break.
I was a collector of Playboys.
Oh, perv?
Yeah. I was a perv
as
well.
You big perv, you?
Well, I had collected, I can't remember how many years of Playboys when I got married. And my wife, after a while, and after a child, she said to me, you've got to get rid of those. Well, I had two boxes full of Playboys, and they were big boxes. And so I said, okay, I'll put them in the trash. So I took them out front and put them by the curbside.
Oh, I bet that didn't take long.
About 2 hours after we came back from the grocery, every kid in the neighborhood had a Playboy magazine.
Oh, absolutely.
And boy, did I get in trouble.
You don't do that, Glenn.
I
you don't put them out by
that.
The road.
I trust
take them to
people.
The landfill. Shred them. But what I'm saying is, okay, if you want to send one to your boyfriend, girlfriend, friend, whatever, fine. As long as you're of age and they're of age, that's legal as far as okay.
I think so.
What I'm saying is what is... The society has changed in a way. This is why we don't send cards anymore. This is why we don't send letters anymore. And this has just become an affect of society that we do this. Now, unfortunately, this has also become a thing that people try to hold against people. Now, don't post it on social media.
Absolutely.
And don't send it to a whole bunch of people. You've really got to trust the person. But 9 times out of 10, it's not going to come back to bite you, because even if somebody's trying to hack you, and I'm not saying the hackings have not taken place.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But even if somebody's trying to hack you, they got to know you took the pictures, or they've got to assume you took the pictures to go looking for them.
Yeah.
And if you didn't take the pictures, then you're okay.
I guess.
I mean, isn't that true?
Yeah. I just never... Well, my wife and I were talking about this last night, not specifically, but there's a commercial on the air right now. It has a bunch of women in their underwear.
Right.
Now I dig women in their underwear if they're 21 years old and weigh 101 pounds, you know. I know that's terrible, but these are all different ages. They're very handsome women. They're all different weights, and I really don't want to look at people.
But no,
it's
in the eye of the beholder.
Yeah, it absolutely. Yeah,
some people don't like tattoos.
Yeah,
some people don't.
I'm one of those.
Right. Okay. Some people don't like the color of people's hair. Some people have blemishes that you would never see, like on their stomach, or, mm-hmm. or scars from surgeries or things of that nature that you would see. Okay, it's in the eye of the beholder. That's
sure.
What this is really all about. Yeah. But
if you look at it and go, ew.
Well, my question was, okay, provocative photo. If you took a picture of a person in a bikini, which can be provocative.
Yes, they can.
Okay. Would that be called, if you took a picture, sent that to somebody, if the person took the picture, who's in the bikini, took the selfie, sent it to somebody, they gave it over to a boss, would that be grounds for firing, just like a provocative photo would be?
In the famous words of a good friend of mine, Scott Spears, that's interesting. And it would be interesting.
It is interesting, isn't
and
it?
And I bet there are bosses that would try to fire you for sending things like that, especially if you did it on inter-office mail.
I'll tell you, I'm not saying they were provocative at all, because frankly, who's sending me provocative photos? But I'm
not
saying,
me.
Yeah, but I'm saying, thank goodness.
Yeah.
All I'm saying is that the times I think they were sent to me, I think there were times that. I'm saying people have sent pictures, not provocative.
Oh.
But the times people have sent pictures, I think they did it to show that they cared, to show that they trusted, and also to show, sometimes it is funny, you know, hope this makes you smile. I think it just to make you laugh, to shock you. I think that's all really it's about.
Well, yeah, and it kind of depends on how the picture is taken. You know, a picture of a beautiful young lady in a... If I saw a picture of my niece, who's what, 15, in a two-piece bathing suit, and she looked nice and clean and sweet, that would be different than some of the pictures I've seen in those Playboys that I used to have.
Well, like I know people who sometimes will lose a tremendous amount of weight.
Yeah,
and they'll take a picture that would kind of come off provocative, but really they're just trying to show you that they've lost weight. People take these pictures in the gym,
yeah,
and they don't have a whole lot of clothes on, and they're taking them to show you the progress on their bodies.
That might be the only picture I ever send to you is if I lose 50 pounds.
Well, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's an interesting line mm-hmm. that people follow.
Sure is.
And I don't know where that line is.
Well, maybe our listeners will call
you.
Yeah,
does anybody have an opinion on this? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. If you've got an opinion on this, buzz in. Let us know. I'm going to hold off because we're going to break here in about 3.5 minutes. So I'm going to save our topic for this hour.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this because you
haven't. That's fascinating.
You haven't told me.
Well, because we've beat around the bush on this many times, but we've never actually went for the exact topic. And I like the topic. We're going head to head and go right on this thing.
No, head hunting. Okay.
Okay, whatever. Whatever you got today. So, I think that's interesting. And I also think that societies, the way we judge these things, we've got to change it because society changed.
Yes,
we had a shift in society,
mm-hmm.
and we're going to have to change these things. But you know what? Tattoos are not my thing either. I don't know why, but I will tell you this. Now, this is an interesting story. Maybe it is. Maybe it's not.
We'll be the judge of that.
We'll be the judge of it. When somebody gets a tattoo, the bigger the tattoo, the more... It's not even necessarily that you think the person is good looking. It's not even that. I guess that figures in partially. But the bigger the tattoo, the more you can see it, the kind of... In my mind, it just changes their look in a way. You really start to look at them, and it has nothing to do with their personality. A tattoo has nothing to do with their nothing. But and it's good for them. If they want to do it, do it. That's your own body. You're making your own decision. It's not illegal. Do it. But it's so permanent, and it's so forever, that you look at that and you remember the person before the tattoo, and you think, well, you know, are they as appealing to me as they were before?
It kind of depends. You know, a lot of people do what they call body art, where they start an art project on their body and they cover their entire body with things. And I don't mind that. Body art, if that's what you want to do, that's fine. But I have seen so many people that have odds and ends tattooed on them. It looks like they were drunk well, maybe they were, but they're, you know, and they're not in any geometric position. They have nothing to do with each other. Some of them are poorly done. That kind of annoys me. But I don't dislike people that have tattoos. Some tattoos I think are ugly.
Well, that's person to person.
Yeah.
And that's what you have to understand. Yeah. I mean, nobody's judging anybody.
Right.
Who's got a tattoo. I mean, my goodness, I think probably the majority of society has them now.
Maybe.
So nobody's saying it's bad. Nobody's saying it's ugly. You know, because honestly, some people probably find that more attractive than somebody without a tattoo.
Well, my son got a tattoo on his shoulder, a little tattoo, and I said I had never seen it when it accidentally showed up when he was at the beach one time. I said, when did you do that? Oh, about 5 years ago. Well, you never showed it to me. I was afraid that you would hate it. And I didn't hate it. It was on my son. How can you hate something that's on your son?
That's and some people, they do look fine.
Yeah,
I think he has a great body.
That helped.
Well, there you go. That's how you fix the whole problem. We're going to break and coming back with the real topic today, which was not this. This was just a little touchstone today. The real topic in 1 minute. Stay tuned.
Scott, you know we hear so much about Bernie Sanders being a socialist. But actually, one of the first big socialists to run for president came from right here in Marion, Ohio.
Oh, yes, Norman Thomas.
Yes, and did you know Norman Thomas also sold ice cream?
No, I didn't know that.
Yes, he was the first ice cream socialist.
WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
/180/111, and I had a stroke. I couldn't speak or walk.
150/90, and I had a stroke.
This is what high blood pressure sounds like. You might not feel its symptoms, but the results from a stroke are far from silent. Get back on your treatment plan or talk with your doctor to create a plan that works for you. Go to loweryourhbp.org.
Head to toe, everything's changed.
Brought to you by the American Stroke Association, American Medical Association, and the Ad Council.
And here we go.
Appointment.
We're back. Having a little medical conversation there during the break. Now comes the real topic today. Now, all right. I find this interesting because we have beat around the bush on this a lot. Because a few weeks ago, we had the discussion, and it turned into a continuing discussion, about how many people in your life do you love? Remember this topic?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. And it was a great topic.
I think about that a lot.
Right. It was a very good, solid topic. But what we didn't do was touch on really the crux of this whole issue.
That's not a dirty word, is it?
Crux?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Okay, all right.
Because it's not love and hate. See, that's where people get confused. It's not about love and hate. It's about love and like.
Oh, yeah.
Because, my question to you is, this I think is a fascinating topic. What is the difference between like and love? Because we use those words for people we're around all the time. We go, man, I really like that person. Mm-hmm. They're very likable. They're great. But then, for a few people in our life, we say, I love them. And we'll say I love them when we see them and so on and so forth. So it's not love and hate, it's like and love. So what in your opinion, what is the difference between like and love?
Excuse me, I have to wake up. This is a very exciting stuff. Recently things have changed, and the difference between like and love, I think, has changed the definition. I did a show, I don't know, a month ago, where I talked about the seven different versions of the word
love. Yeah, agape
love.
And
yeah,
yep.
Yeah, for that the Greeks had. But up till about maybe a year ago, I would never tell anybody other than my sons and any male that I loved him. But I think I told you I loved you on the air.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh,
and,
Glenn.
And
I've never got a Christmas gift from
I'm
you.
I'm sorry. And you're not going to get
or a birthday
free
gift,
dinner or wine.
Or a free dinner or but, anything.
But I also...
My beverage is just about out, by the way, folks. I'm getting a little nervous. The Bratwurst Challenge is coming up.
Where's the wine? But, yeah.
You know, we do have a bottle of wine in here.
Well, there you go. I don't know. Well, wine
it's
might
It's good
go
wine.
Well.
It's Fred Malone wine from his son's vineyard in California, I believe.
Maybe.
Florida or California?
My son's in California, so it has to be good. Anyway, I think that the definition of love has changed, and I really do wish we had a different definition. I wish we had at least three different versions of the word love.
But I don't think that answered the question I asked you at the start of this.
Well, it's because I was bored.
No, it's a good topic.
Okay.
What is the difference between like and love?
Well, what I'm saying is I don't think we know there's a difference.
Well, I know.
Okay.
I'm just asking you.
Well, you hit it on the head. It's totally personal.
Right. It's totally personal in your own life, but you know the difference.
But I don't know the difference for you.
But I'm asking you, okay, give me, and not family, because, again, okay. Family is a given, and not a wife. That's, you know, we say it, but we don't. Do we really mean it? See, that's a whole other topic. Do we really mean it to these people? I don't know.
Oh, absolutely.
But, well, not your wife, okay. I'm saying, but some people.
You don't love my wife, do you?
Not that I'm aware of.
I don't
of.
Think you know her.
We've met a couple times.
Okay.
We've met a couple
oh,
times.
Oh, yes, we have.
But very nice woman.
Thank you.
So, So start with you.
Okay.
Tell me, again, not the kids, not the obvious.
I can do it in one word. Go
okay,
ahead.
Person you love.
Mm-hmm.
Who's a person you love?
Outside my family?
Yeah.
I'll give you his name. His name is Dave Mateer.
He was okay, Dave Mateer.
One of my former students okay. and workers.
Now tell me somebody you like.
Just about everybody else.
Everybody else.
I like a lot of people.
No, somebody you really like. We're talking about...
Okay, Bill Clark.
Bill Clark.
Used to work with.
Okay. So what's the difference between Dave Mateer and Bill Clark?
Actually, that was a bad choice because I think I love Bill Clark as much as I love Dave Mateer. Okay. The difference, I would say, between two different people, one like, one love, is trust.
Trust. Mm-hmm. So for you, it's trust.
It is, absolutely.
What? Okay. Like, do you think that one is more dishonest than the other?
Well, and I'm going to take away, I trust both Bill and David, so I should give another one. It's not that you don't trust them, but there's a level of trust with people that you love that you trust them to tell them anything, you trust them to tell you the truth, you trust them to tell you what they think of you, what they think of your opinions, whereas your friends, probably you don't expect them to tell you, you know, you have bad breath today. But somebody you love will tell you, hey, you really have bad breath today.
So love is trust, and like is not. Like,
no,
like is a little phony.
Like is not distrust, but like is less deeply trusting.
Well, it's interesting that is your deal breaker. For love and like is trust. Because
yeah.
I was talking about... Were you listening to the show this morning?
Not much.
No, but
I just listened to the last...
Well, did you hear
minutes.
My whole soliloquy on trust?
I missed it. I'm sorry.
It would help one day, Glenn. If
I'm
you listen
sorry.
To the show, we could
I'm
save a lot of
time. I'm talking to my dog about my show at that time in the morning.
I talked about this morning how when you... Because a lot of times you trust somebody in the beginning, but then you build up a mistrust with them, and sometimes it's on suspicion.
Mm-hmm.
It's not even founded.
Yep.
You don't even know for sure that they are lying to you.
Right.
But just a series of events lead you to believe that they're being dishonest about something. And a lot of times, it's something they don't even have to be dishonest about. They can just tell you, and it would be fine.
And sometimes you're wrong in your
decision. And sometimes you're wrong in your suspicion. Absolutely. So my question about that is why do we get suspicious?
I'm not very suspicious.
No, but some people are.
Yeah, I know. But I have a hard time telling you why I would get suspicious. I would say the only reason why I ever get suspicious is if I see with my own two eyes some reason to be suspicious.
So you've got to be. Well, but isn't that why we all get suspicious? I mean, we don't actually see what's going on, but we see something that leads us to believe that something might be going on.
I was brought up a different way, I think. I was brought up to believe everybody is doing the right thing for the right purpose. That's the way my mom was. She believed everybody.
I'm proven different.
Yeah, but I have to be proven different. And then my mother always told me, turn the other cheek. That might have just been a slip. So I do that. I really do. I'm not patting myself on the back. Sometimes it's real annoying. And it's annoying to my friends.
Well, it's always funny to me because the people who I am suspicious of in life, and I don't get suspicious of a lot of people.
Yeah, I was going to say, I've never heard of you being suspicious.
No, but it's not. See, my suspicion's different. It really is. My suspicion is, okay, let's say I'm close friends with somebody, mm-hmm. okay? And
like me.
Yeah, let's say me and you. And I've always trusted you. I am not somebody who will ever look at your emails. I won't even look at your Facebook page. I don't take the time to do that. I'm not going to...
That's because you're lazy, not because...
uninterested. I'm uninterested.
Yeah.
You know, people have left their computers up here, like at the station, and a lot of people are, you should, you know... I don't know. That's an invasion of somebody's privacy.
I'm terrible.
I close it out and I get rid of it.
Yep.
Okay, which is what I would hope they would do with mine.
Yeah.
So the point is that my suspicion derives from something has changed. Change will bring suspicion. And when something changes, you have to assume that there is a catalyst for the change. There has to be.
Oh, you don't have to assume that.
Well, I don't think change happens just to change.
Well, I agree with you.
I don't
you.
Think somebody wakes up some morning and says, well, I'm just going to change today.
I agree with you, in fact, but I think you can put it out of your head.
And then you start to see things that are not quite normal. And
paranoia sets in then.
If you're paranoid of something bad happening. But in my case, that's just suspicion. I go, well, and I never call them out on it. I mean, I'm never going to do that because I really don't care enough to do it. And honestly, I'm not going to go looking for answers that I think are there because whatever. They can do what they want. That's their own life. But I always think to myself, why didn't you just say it? Because clearly there was something about it that you thought was going to have a negative reaction.
You're like me. You don't like the confrontation that's going to happen when you really don't care that much.
Well, I don't know that there'd be a confrontation because what I would do, if somebody came up to me and told me they had lied to me about something, what I would, even if they said it was none of my business, I would say, well, then you should have said that. You should have said that in the beginning. You should have said, I didn't tell you because it was none of your business.
Has anybody ever said that to you? I've never told anybody that something wasn't any of their business. That seems.
If somebody said it to me, I wouldn't care.
Yeah, but you don't like people knowing about your finances. It sounded like I was listening to your show.
I don't like throwing around finances.
Yeah.
I think that's why I have buyer's remorse to a certain degree, because I don't like to go to the store and be the one who buys the big ticket item. I don't want to buy something for somebody else because I think it seems showy when they're there. I don't want to drive the best car or live in the biggest house, and I'm just not very materialistic. You know why? Because I derive so much joy from my life, and my life doesn't cost any money.
Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah. Well, my mother used to call it gauche. If you would tell people about how much money you made, it's basically showing off, I guess.
Right. I don't want. If you know how much money somebody has, even if they didn't tell you, somebody, you know, some reason. You know for some reason, but whether it's the house they live in or the cars they drive or the things they've said or something, who knows them, somebody's told you. And to me, that would be embarrassing. That would be like, wow. I would rather people like me for that. I don't want that to be a reason.
I think there are people like you and me. I'm that way. I'm not very materialistic. But there are people that judge their own self-worth by the money they
have. Oh, absolutely.
And I judge my self-worth based on how good-looking I am. I'm sorry. No, I think there are people that judge their self-worth on money and some people that judge their self-worth on pleasure and joy.
I have said this before, and I don't think this is talking necessarily about money that I have, but when I have been, and this is the only time this really happens, when I have been in relationships in the past, what I am very bad at is giving them free rein over my finances.
Oh, yeah, and you shouldn't.
I have done
careful
that. I've done that. Because, you know what? I have always, in the relationships, I've always driven the older car. I've always let them make the decisions on where we live. I've always let them make the decisions on the furniture we've had. I don't care.
Yeah.
I'm just not home a lot. I don't care.
I agree with you.
And if I drive up in an old car that's leaking oil and it's smoking under, I don't care because my thing is to get there. Mm-hmm. I don't care how people look how I'm getting there. I want to get there.
Yep, and I think that's good financial education is to get to your appointment rather than worrying how you get to your appointment.
Well, it was interesting because in one relationship I had when I turned over the finances to the other person, because I'm trusting in that way. This wasn't the trusting part of me. Boy, there was a nice car, certainly for her. There was, and I got to ride in it occasionally. There was old new furniture constantly. There was, I remember the new washing machine and the new dryer, and we moved into a new house, and it just got very big. And those would never have been decisions I would have made on my own.
Yeah.
Being alone.
My wife is very much like both of us in that the money isn't a big thing for her. And there are a lot of people that I don't
and
know
vacations.
Why.
Oh, my goodness. We took vacations.
Why would they care?
We're going to break. We'll be back in exactly 1 minute. Good topic. Hey, Charlie. Did you know that Mayor Jack Kellogg has a great collection of political memorabilia?
Yes, I did know that. But do you know what his most prized political possession is?
No, Charlie, what is it?
Hillary Clinton's hairbrush. Never been used.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
Two, one. Oh no. Which button am I?
When every second counts, you can't wing it.
Guys, a little help up here?
In a home fire, you may have less than 2 minutes to get out. So make a family home fire escape plan. Then practice home fire drills at least twice a year so everyone knows what to do when they hear. Prepare your family at ready.gov/firedrill. Brought to you by FEMA, the Ag Council, and Make Safe Happen.
And we're back on the air today. Glenn Coble, Scott Spears.
Sounds like you hit a nerve. From
We're getting at 4 or 5 at this point messages on this topic. And I told you this would be a good one because it's fascinating overall. But you know, I will say this though, it's not all trust with me. Trust is not the different. Our original topic was like in love.
Yeah.
And
you tell us what yours is.
Yeah, it's not all trust.
Okay.
Yeah, it's trust. I mean, I don't want to be lied to.
Yeah.
But here's what will happen if I find out you've lied to me. I will not confront you on it, not because of that, just because of indifference. Because in my mind, here's what I'll do. I'll say, oh, you lied to me? Okay. And that'll be it. I wouldn't even come to you and tell you that I knew you lied to me. Because I think sometimes that's a worse punishment because I think they wonder why you're treating them differently. Really the reason is because you have found out they have not been so honest with you in the past.
But do you ever give those people the credit that they might have lied to you to save your feelings?
Oh, yeah, that maybe.
But then you don't care about your feelings.
No, they should know that by now. There is nothing that could upset me. In that, I'm trying to think of any lie that would upset me. Any.
I used to lie just to get I was the third child of three, and I used to lie about things so that my mother and father would pay attention to me. And I would lie about, you know, oh, I saw Joni shoot an arrow through the window of that car. Or, you know, I'd tell them something really stupid like that that anybody would know was wrong. But I wanted to get a rise out of them. I didn't want them to know I was lying. I just wanted them to notice that I was talking.
There is nothing. There is absolutely nothing that somebody could do, even if they did it to me, even if they had done something to me and then lied about it, I would respect them more for telling the truth, telling me that they did do that.
Yeah. I have and I'm going to try to cover this up so this person happens to listen to the show occasionally. He lies all the time. I still love him.
When he says he likes the show, that's his biggest lie.
Yeah,
all the time.
That's probably true. But and everybody around him knows he tells fibs. But his fibs are usually non-threatening. He's just trying to, you know, okay, I say one thing and he has to top it. That's kind of the way he is.
Well, because we're having the Bratwurst Challenge. See, this first hour is blowing right by.
Yeah.
We got about 12 minutes left
here. Oh, my goodness.
But we're having the big Bratwurst Challenge. Don't forget, at 11:15, we're going to find out if beer changes the taste of Bratwurst. And it's Bratwurst, not Bratwurst.
Tomato, tomato.
And I'm now dry.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm dry.
I'm sorry.
I have no beverage left. Okay, so...
it's your last chance,
it's
listeners.
My last chance. So here's the thing, though. Here's my difference between like and love, which I've never really gotten to. It's not... It is trust, but it's not. I can get over that. Here, it's indifference. When somebody develops... When somebody's... attitude changes, and not that we don't all evolve over time, but if somebody's attitude changes toward me, well, of course, I think, you know, cause and effect, my attitude's going to change toward them. And you do, okay, love to me is based upon the things people do. And you say, boy, I love that about that person. I love their characteristics of people. I love how they talk. I love how open they are. I love their spontaneity. I love their energy. I love their inclusiveness.
You don't have to admit to me.
I know. It's a whole love note today. You love those things. But now think, if those things go away, the things that you loved about them, do you love them still? Probably not. You probably now like them. You like them. They're a good, solid person in your life. You don't want to be without them because they are a source of happiness to you. But it's no longer that feeling when they enter the room that, oh, this is going to be really, really good because this person possesses traits that nobody else has. So for me, that's it. It's the possessing of traits that are not common in all people.
Well, you just hit on something that I think is another portion of my like versus love, and I'm not sure you knew you were hitting on it, but memories.
Oh, memories are big.
If they bring up in you great memories, that helps the love.
Yeah, well, yeah, and making memories.
Yeah.
See, that's a big one, too.
Yeah.
There are memories, like right now I can recall memories with people that I love the memory.
Mm-hmm.
I really do. But, you know, I think the memory was based, okay, let's say, and I'll take a family member in this one. Let's say you have a family member who you... So let's say unexpectedly you went out and ate with, and you went out and you stayed for 3 hours.
Unexpectedly.
Okay. For three, and you laughed, and you carried on, and you told stories, and you told secrets that you would never tell, and you had the best time. That's a great memory with that person.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's say 6 months down the road, you try to recreate it, you go out with that person again, and it's boring. And you're sitting at the table thinking, how do I get out of this? Why am I here? It doesn't diminish the memory that you have with them. That memory is still there and you love it. But the person, you're probably not going to call them a third time to go out and do it.
Well, I think you should, because who's to say what's going on in that person's mind that you're talking to? Let's say that... They're just having a bad day. Let's leave it at that.
Right, and sometimes that is it.
Yeah.
But there are, You know what makes up a person is their characteristics. And there
mine,
are people.
Mine have changed every day.
But they do change.
Yeah.
But there are people. I have met people in my life who blew me away. Because I am not a jealous person.
You don't need to bring my name.
I bring you up again. this is the Scott Spears Show here on WWGH Radio. Just so you know, 52 minutes past the hour.
And I'm Glenn Coble.
And that's irrelevant. Here's the point. The point does become, you know, I in my mind,
Go ahead.
It's a good one. In my mind, I have such great of that time. I think, wow, that was great. And I mean, have you ever had somebody come in your life, and it doesn't have to be a romantic relationship.
I doubt it, that just, you care, but go ahead.
Who just blew, I probably don't, but it gives me a chance to black out. you just blew you away. This person blew you away. They did things that nobody else did. They did them in a different way. And you were like, my goodness, that person is great. And then something happens.
I've gotten older, no. Early in my life, yes. Go ahead.
Oh, I think this happens quite a bit. And
you're young.
Well, like, you know, I'll give you an example, a very good example. The person I was engaged to, you know, we took trips together, and I look back on those trips very well.
Yeah.
We took trips very good, and I love those trips, and I love those memories, but I don't love that person now.
Yeah.
I like them. I'm still friends with them, but the characteristics that they had that made me love them are no longer there.
There was more than one? You said them. That's why I was asking.
Them.
As opposed to
love, she
her.
Is what I should try to say. Her like love her. Well, see, that's too deep because I can't say I love
that
anybody.
That's too close to home. Yeah, I got you.
Can't do that.
All right.
So yeah, no, but that's, you know, the trips were great.
Yeah.
You know,
And you will be fond of those the rest of your life.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
And I have a lot of memories like that when I was young. Now that I'm older, my memories mainly are of my family, and I think that's kind of, I don't know if that's true of most people, but I think it does become closer to your family than your friends. I don't know. I have friends that have besties.
Besties.
We've talked about this before.
I don't really
have any besties. Maybe one or two, the two that I mentioned just recently. But
it's my understanding that I have a bestie.
Oh, you! Somebody told you you had one.
Somebody told me I had one, so I believe now that I do have one.
Okay, good. And you don't have to bring my name up again.
It's one of those things. It just kind of rolled over. But it's you can't expect to have indifferent moments with people on a continuous basis and expect them to just stay.
Indifferent moments? What do you mean by that?
Just like, nothing huge is going on here.
You know,
everybody has off days and off weeks. I'm not saying I'm not perfect all the time.
You mean to have somebody that you love constantly has to blow you away?
No, that's what I'm saying.
Okay.
But if you, I mean, good 6 months of indifferent moments and you'll start to say, well, now wait a second, something ain't right here.
Well, yeah, but I think you got to look deeper. Now, Dave Mateer, one of the two that I mentioned earlier, Dave and I spent hours and hours and hours. When you're in sports information.
By the way, I just want to correct this quickly.
Sure.
I was joking.
Okay.
I know who my bestie is, and I do have one.
Good.
All right.
I'm glad
just
you do.
Just a little joke.
And don't bring my name up. but I have not seen Dave Mateer for 10 years. And so, therefore, everything's indifferent as far as you're concerned. I mean, my relationship to him is zero right now.
But you don't dislike him.
But I love him.
But
still.
You love him. There
yeah.
you go.
Yeah, because of what, from our memories and my trust and stuff like that. Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that's the difference between like and love. I think it's the, to what degree can you take indifference? To what degree, because here's the, if somebody comes on, when you meet somebody, you're tabula rasa. You're blank slate.
Ooh, there he goes again.
Goes there with the Latin.
He's trying to show off.
I'm showing off the Latin today.
He knows if I have that questionable look in my face, I have no idea what he's talking about.
If you meet somebody, you don't know anything about them.
No.
So everything that you learn about them, in about their personality in the first few months, that becomes them to you.
Because you're starting at tabula rasa.
Tabula rasa. But if that changes for some reason, you wonder, you think, well, if I met that person with this attitude, would they have been that important?
You mean if your attitude was different or their attitude?
Their attitude.
Oh, okay.
When you meet them and they're a certain way and that's what you really love, if that changes, you think, well, if I met them now and this is their attitude, would it have happened the same way?
Okay, I'm going to bring up something that's a little uncomfortable, which I quite often do.
Oh, go right ahead.
But if you meet a young lady and
I've met a few, sure.
And she happens to be in that time of the month, she's going to have a completely different attitude toward you based on the way the young woman...
It takes more than that. Oh, it takes a longer period than that.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, longer than that.
Okay.
I mean,
I'm just giving her a one-shot deal.
You really got to get a track record.
I got you.
But you know what? Things are fixable, though. I will say that.
Good. Because I'm glad you believe that.
Well, because sometimes you find out that the reason that things were changed was something you were not aware of. So once that changes, and then things start to go back the other way, you know, all of a sudden... I heard this. Oh boy, and I'm on the clock here now. I heard. I'm trying to remember who the story was about, but essentially, the two people were really good friends, and you would probably say they loved each other. Their friendship went beyond friendship. They loved each other, and then they had a huge falling out. Huge. Hated each other. Couldn't stand each other.
That's
had no
hard.
Contact. Blah blah blah. And then one day, they met again. Now, it wasn't as big as it was in the beginning, but they just came back together in some way and started talking again.
In there.
And they got deeper and deep. Mm-hmm. And you know what? And I remember the person saying, because I remember them asking the person, well, geez, you hated them. You know, all that great love turned to complete hate for that person. What happened? How did you get back? What's the secret here?
Lost of trust.
Well, but no, you know what they said?
What?
I thought this was a great line. I fell in love with them all over again.
Oh, my.
You know, they didn't go back to A, but they found the person again, and they fell in love with them all over again. And in 15 minutes, we're going to fall in love with Bratwurst. Don't you dare go away.
1FM LP Marion, Ohio, the talking place. For the famous cookie man, Wally Amos.
And around the corner comes George and Barbara Bush. The first thing that occurred to me to do was to play...